C1A, number 31B.
But taken as a whole, naturally the correlation cannot be so exact, but taken as a whole we see again how there in justice, the moment it comes to the sixth subject, manhood is brought out, and how Samson had to lay down a false sense of manhood and had to deal with all the temptations of false sense of manhood. And then I think the seventh subject in justice is quite interesting. The central figure is always a Levite which Mr. Zeddy defines as the denial of the fullness of God's creation. See, and in the seventh subject in Atonement and Eucharist, we always get that fullness of salvation, that asks us to give up our belief in something contrary to that fullness of love, that we accept the plan of love. And in justice, we find how this Levite, in whatever way he was concerned with, could not prevent, really, that the tribes were preserved. The Levites, if it would have gone according to the Levites, the 12 tribes would have been robbed of one tribe, that the Benjamites would have been wiped out, you remember, but that there was enough love and motherhood in the other tribes to prevent that. They wanted to destroy the Benjamites, and the Benjamites stand for self-offering. So that wonderful sense of love which Jesus shows in the second chapter of Atonement and Eucharist shows that he was willing to offer himself out of an enormous sense of love. Namely, he wanted to offer him to prove to the world that no error whatsoever can destroy the fullness of God. And the Levite wanted to deny the fullness of God and therefore believed that the fullness of God can be destroyed, and so wanted to destroy Benjamites. It is that in us which shows that we have to destroy the belief in a destruction in the fullness, that we are not participating in the fullness of God, and that we overcome that temptation and find that love is love and remains love, and that love is only then coming into its full blossom and its full vigor through that Benjamin state of thought, namely self-offering, by giving up everything which stands in the way of fullness, which is willing to give up mortal mind, then is willing to give up a material sense of being, then which gives up that sense of incertitude and sluggardness and indefiniteness in us, which gives up in us a theological and scholastic sense of being, which gives us in us a worldly sense of life, not the single component part of the world measure right in Jesus, because the world has no measure for it. And it is that in us which is willing to give up a mortal sense of manhood, which we showed last time in quite an extenso. And that alone is that self-offering which Jesus offered from A to Z, with that love which made us realize that the principle of being must be love. So we can see how the Bible can tell the same story in the terminology of the Bible, and the textbook can show the same story in the terminology of the textbook, and that therefore we can tell the same story in our terminology. But mostly and most important is the thing that we can experience that same story in our life by the illustrations given in the Bible, the illustrations given in the textbook. They are instructive and illustrative, but they are illustrations. They are not the thing itself. The thing itself is that which we experience. if we take those teachings and try to imbibe them and imbibe them and think over them and ponder them and love them and take them in and take them in and value them, and then they become real in us, and they become us, and they speak in us, and then as they gather that identity in us, they become our ruling, our government, our principle, and they rule our life. And that life is a new life, is another life, is not the old life, is a new life. And that new life brings out a new man. We become a new man every day a bit more, every day a bit more. And more or less we feel that this new man is penetrating the whole world and therefore savior to the whole world. Well, I have to stop here and let you go home.